This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The expectation is that we go out and pour it out on free agents. Our preference is to develop from within, to invest in our own players, and to build that way. You know, we're not working on a low payroll. we're working on one of the largest payrolls in team history.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Matthews, one of the best in the league. McDavid, under 50% for the regular season. But he won 12 out of 14 in their opener, and he won that one and got a shot off. Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I believe I saw the other day he's a billionaire, and he's playing on the second night of a back-to-back at 40 after 22 years with every frickin' record and every accolade. And the kids will say that I'm glazing him. He's one of the greatest competitors.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right! 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan. A marvelous flop shot Friday. A fast break Friday. I don't know what would you use for hockey.
I'm waiting for another one. I don't know what else we got.
The forward.
Fisticuffs Friday.
Fisticuffs Friday.
What is happening?
Trying to include all the sports here.
How many other Fs can we get in there? We got fastball. We got fast break.
Not quite face fastball
off.
Yet.
You can go face off Friday.
Well, face off. There you go.
We had our first spring training game yesterday, man. What are you talking about? Baseball's here. No, I didn't watch a second of it. No, I think it was on MLB Network. And that was one of my things realizing yesterday on YouTube TV. We don't get MLB Network. It's not a part of that package. Mm. We don't get it.
Well, all the sports are included on this Friday.
All of them are here.
Just
look
not
at
football.
Us. No, football's gone. RIP. Never going to happen again. We got to wait till next August.
Unless they try to keep cramming this spring football down our throats.
Can't wait for the Dragons versus the Meteors that are going to play in the spring.
Yeah.
From Tuscaloosa versus Birmingham.
I think that Salem team is still a team.
Are they still playing?
I think so.
We got a team in Salem?
There was somebody that went to my high school a couple years older. He coaches locally. I think he's coaching on that team.
And that is a part of the A. What is the Salem team? What level are we at there?
Game? I can't pretend to know. I didn't think
that they existed yet.
It's one of the best. It's one of the easiest and best takes is anybody breathing oxygen on this station at any one point trying to tell you spring football will be a thing.
It's going to be a thing, man.
I think they're suffocating right now.
Catch
they cannot breathe.
The fever.
It will never be a thing.
Almost here. I can't wait for the Battle Hawks versus the Greyhounds, man.
Remember the Steel?
Where's your money going to go? Who you put money on to win whatever that league is called this year?
Bon Jovi's team.
Eagerly awaiting the start of that season.
No, I just no, thank you.
Don't want to bring arena football back?
Give me the second round of the LIV Golf Championship.
Let's go, baby. You want to watch that down in Australia last weekend? Catch a fever.
How do you know where they are?
I don't know. I got a problem. I got a sickness. I got an issue. Yeah. Reunification is close, though, Bob. Mm. Reunification is close.
I'm sure it is.
We're almost to the finish line.
Just sure to answer is. This question once and for all, I believe the Oregon Black Bears played a handful of games before folding.
They folded.
They did fold.
That this is according to a couple of different sources. They I think paused at one point and then said, "Oh, our season's resuming.
We're going to pick back up,
and we're going back to the fairgrounds down in Salem to play."
which just sounds.
Dude, you're there petting a donkey. You're eating some elephant ears, and look over there. There's a football game.
Hey, it's Darren Thomas throwing a football.
That sounds like a great time, man. You're gonna go to a county fair. Guy. You might as well let some football break out in the background. If I'm gonna get dragged to a county fair,
weren't they? They changed their name though, didn't they? They weren't the Steel.
Well, we started. Our arena team started as the Thunder,
the Portland Thunder.
We were the Portland Thunder.
Thunderstruck.
Yeah, right. They play the rattling thunder in the arena. Oh, and then they changed it to Steel because everybody made fun of them.
No, it was actually a rights thing.
Oh, well,
no, it wasn't. I'm sure maybe they did, you know, because of people making fun of them, but it was actually like.
I mean, I think they made fun of them because it was a rights thing. There's literally another team named the Thunder.
Yeah, you can't.
There's a lot of team names you could choose from, and they chose the one of the stolen basketball team from Seattle.
I tell you what, we can crap on it all we want. I'm just trying to live in the positive. The monster trucks are here next week.
The monster trucks are coming. Oh. It's that time of year, baby. You taking the kids to go see the monster trucks?
I haven't taken my kids. Yeah. My kids could not care less.
Not
about,
into it.
Monster trucks.
Not even a weekend for dad. They don't even do one for you. Hey, I take you to like Disney on Ice. Now I want to go see monster trucks.
I think I'd rather just go with my little brother. His dad is the one that drove them years ago. I'd rather just go with him and
have a beer and watch him trucks.
Grow out a little bit.
Wear a cutoff t-shirt and
like,
some jorts.
Man, they're doing backflips now. It's crazy.
Now, let me ask you this. Like, when people go to like rodeos or country concerts, whether you are actually country or not, people will dress up to be a part of the crowd. Like, there's a certain vibe of attire that goes with going to an event like that. Is that the case with monster trucks?
No, that attire can range from all over the map walks of life.
You go jorts and a cutoff? You want to fit in?
Yeah, you could do that. See, that's the thing. That doesn't necessarily fit in at a monster truck
Doesn't fit in? What if it's like a flannel shirt unbuttoned with the sleeves ripped off?
There is that look.
As long as you got Skull in the front pocket.
Yeah, you got to have a can of Skull in the front pocket, cut off sleeves.
Skull on the t-shirt, too.
Yeah, Skull t-shirt.
Of course. I mean, how could we forget?
How do you not?
The legendary.
Have some jorts that are just a little bit below the tentacles down there, you know, kind of a little 4-inch short shorts down there. Let's go.
I mean, it might just be something I need in my life. I haven't even thought about it until last night. I'm watching TV and they're like, the monster trucks, get your pit pass now.
Come on. Sunday.
Move the metal.
It's one of those things I'd love to go, like, I wouldn't want to be there the entire time, but I don't know if they set up time-lapse cameras in, like, the Moda Center for that. Those kind of things still blow my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the fact that you are going to turn the arena from...
Oh, like, dirt.
Like, they're going to truck all of that dirt in, and then there's going to be... monster trucks, literally, that are, like, doing backflips and jumps inside of an arena. It's a very interesting thing, one, how they pull it off, and I would love to see the behind-the-scenes footage of that.
Maybe not necessarily at Moda or the Memorial Coliseum, but there's nice little TikToks or YouTube shorts of that happening, like where they'll do like an NBA game, and then the next night they've got a monster truck
rally. There's a concert, we got to get a new floor in, here's the stage, and we got to set all this stuff up.
The crazy one is when it goes from hockey to something else.
Yeah, you got to get the ice off.
It just doesn't...
No, it's under everything.
I know, you got to move it underneath.
But it's just crazy that it's just sitting... There's ice there the whole time.
Just hanging out underneath the floor.
Did you see the... where do the Colts play? Indianapolis, the name, whatever.
Lucas Oil Stadium.
Thank you. Go look at the time lapse of Lucas Oil. I believe it was for the Olympic, like the pre-trial, like the, I forget what it's called, but basically they turned Lucas Oil, they made a ton of Olympic-sized swimming pools into Lucas Oil. That time lapse will blow your mind.
How many pools they could fit on a football field?
Would they just create? Dude, they don't have them. They have to build these pools up.
You got
to
build the pool.
And they fill them up. Yeah. It's crazy. And they do it in 24 hours.
The technology behind that is bananas.
Yeah, but our roads can't be fixed within a month.
No, but we can get a football. We can get a swimming pool on a football field.
I will say, and I say this like kindly because, you know, it was probably the most redneck thing I grew up with was going to monster truck shows.
It's very redneck of you. That's
my
right.
Stepdad was great at doing coke and loved driving those trucks. And so we had to
hopefully
go to
not
shows.
At the same time.
No, absolutely.
Same time.
I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret on the monster truck.
How close do those trucks come to the crowd?
So,
because there's not that much room in the Moda Center.
Well, yeah, but they have kill switches. So somebody not in the truck has a button that they can hit, and the truck will turn off.
Just turns off automatically.
I have, however, been to enough truck shows to tell you I've actually watched two people get hit with monster trucks in real time.
That's nice.
And it's
not good.
It's awful.
And imagine for your health, not a thing that you would recommend.
No, not at all. I remember being a kid going, oh my God, did that guy just die?
I think he did. Did they just move the drill? They slowly usher him off of the floor?
And there was no Twitter, so there's no update. The guy's just
here comes tornado! And another truck just comes out onto the dirt track. El Toro Loco!
Can we put like nets up or something? I know they won't.
No,
really
nets
hold.
Would do nothing. No, nets would do absolutely nothing with those machines.
I don't know if they'd catch those bad boys.
But I'll tell you, back in the day, when they weren't doing backflips, they didn't have quite the suspension they do now. So they, like, the coolest thing they did was jump cars.
Yeah.
And
or I feel like when they run over, do they ever run over cars or you jump all of them?
No, I mean, you run them over, okay. But like largely it was racing. So it would be like a jump over like six cars.
Okay, we're going off a jump.
And most of the time they didn't make it, so they like land on the cars.
Squish it, everybody cheers.
That got all the whites real. Yeah! Smash the car!
Mountain Dew!
But back in the day, they would break their trucks. And then they'd have multiple shows through the week because they have a Friday show. Usually they did two on Saturday.
You got a double dip on Saturday.
And then they had the finale on Sunday is how those shows went.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
And I'm telling you, firsthand knowledge, those guys did not break an axle and a wheel on a truck and have that truck ready for the next show without a little booger sugar.
Stay up all night.
All
night. We got to fix this bad boy.
Dude, that wasn't just black coffee, man. What are you dumping in that?
That's a nice encouraging thought of guys driving a monster truck, occasionally running over people, high on drugs the entire time.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is they don't really do the car thing anymore. And the moto's too small for a really good show.
Do they drug test? Are they still allowed to do drugs? Or is that just because it was the wild 80s?
Well, it was the early 90s and the late 80s for sure, yeah. But the Moda Center show is cool, I guess, but not cool.
I feel like if I'm going to see monster trucks, I want it in like an open space.
You want either a NASCAR venue or an NFL arena.
Yes.
That's what you want.
It's an open air arena, and I don't feel like I'm breathing in exhaust the entire time.
And they're flying, too. They go fast. Yeah. They do double backflips. Like, you know, all these crazy things.
You got more room to move around. I feel like that's the one I would want to do. The most redneck car thing I've ever been to is I was up visiting family outside of Seattle years ago, and we went to a demolition derby.
Oh, they used to have those at monster truck shows.
Demolition derbies are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Some of you just running into people. And
well, there's a bunch of local yokels.
Yeah, just a bunch of guys like, yeah, sure, I'll drive my Chevy out there and like running into other people. This is great. Let's spray paint some cool things on the hood.
Kind of like in Woodburn.
Yeah.
Local one.
Sounds like Woodburn. Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I've always wanted to participate in a demolition derby.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
If you could like create, I mean, you got to obviously make a roll cage and protect yourself a little bit there, but
I feel like I would want it to be other people that I know, not professional drivers.
Okay, this is probably going to land.
Just like get 10 of your buddies out there of like, let's go run cars into each other. I don't know if I want.
This is not going to land well. There's no difference.
No difference?
I'm sorry.
Sure. Like, not a skill?
No.
No?
Back up and hit somebody, blindside them. That's not a skill.
They're going to sandwich you in there. You can't move, man.
I'm telling you with confidence.
Guys are coming out of nowhere.
I don't, you know, monster trucks, that's a skill. Dirt bike.
I mean, that's definitely a skill.
Motocross, that's a skill.
That's a skill. Demolition derby, no skill?
No skill.
Okay, I'm going to put that first poll question of the day.
Demolition derby.
Does driving in a demolition derby take skill? Yes or no?
I think it takes, what would I say?
Hard-headedness?
Well, yeah.
That's definitely a part of it.
You got to plot. There's plotting going on there, like, oh, I'm going to hit Bob over there. He's not looking. I'm going to nail him.
Coming out of nowhere.
It's no different than when you go to bumper cars, though.
I mean, it's a little bit different because they're actual cars.
Yeah, they are. Bumper cars are more dangerous.
They're more dangerous than a demolition
derby? That's another poll question.
There's poll question, too.
More dangerous, bumper cars or demolition derby cars?
Hot takes coming out all over the place over here.
You guys are making it sound like baseball. Like, there's more thought going on while the game's going on.
Are we thinking about this and thinking about this? Are we doing one of those right now? Are we thinking about this too much?
At least the derby car gives you a neck brace and a helmet and a roll cage.
That is true.
I did the Seaside bumper cars last year at Hood to Coast. And I'm telling you, the amount of whiplash we gave each other.
Ow!
We were laughing, but my God, were we hurting each other.
Wake up the next 48 hours, you're like, what happened to my neck, man? I can't move my head anymore.
Now, let me ask you this, because we'll go. We got a lot to get to today.
We do.
What would you rather attend? If I gave you free tickets to the event, would you rather go to the Monster Truck Show or watch stand-up comedy performed by Jeremy Piven?
Stand-up comedy by Jeremy Piven. I think that's where I would go there.
I didn't know he was
mainly
a
because
comedian.
You don't. Yeah.
I mean, I just monster trucks don't really do a lot for me. Mm. Kind of out on that one.
Aren't you a rodeo guy?
Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit different.
How is that different?
That's actual skill. We're riding horses, we're roping cows.
Is that a skill?
Or, you get on the back of a bucking bronco. See how you like it.
He was on it for 3 seconds. He set the record.
3 seconds is a long time. That's what people tell me. Jeremy Piven, though.
Very nice, your wife.
His character in Entourage, one of my all time favorites. I can't imagine that he's very good at stand up comedy because he's more of a dramatic actor. I feel like from his past that pivoted into comedy.
I always thought he was comedic.
And I'm curious what's going on there.
Who would you rather watch do stand-up comedy, the rapper T.I. or Jeremy Piven?
I think I go Jeremy Piven there.
Yeah, but then it's probably just, I mean, T.I. literally has nothing funny to quote. Jeremy Piven's going to be just quoting, Ari from Entourage and all the other
Just get an Entourage bit for a half hour.
T.I. was doing stand-up comedy, and he just quit, and he basically was like, yeah, you don't make any money. And they're like, yes.
Yeah, it's a grind, man. You got to go from bar to bar to bar and Comedy Central to Comedy Central to find your way.
T.I. Right. thought he was getting started at Madison Square Garden or something like that.
I think he assumed because of his popularity.
No. And
I
heard of me?
I think
who
I am? Jokes were funny, too.
I don't think it worked out that
way.
Did
you put up the poll question?
The poll question is up. Does driving in a demolition derby take skill? Yes or no?
All right. Well, we got to get going. We have a lot to talk about today. Brooke Olsendam's going to join the program at 8 a.m. We're going to play a fun game of finding out our deep fears and can we make Brooke Olsendam unlikable today? We have a little game we're going to play with her, and I think we might succeed.
It's very hard to make Brooke Olsendam unlikable.
She might be the most likable media member in our city of any sports, non-sports. If you polled everybody,
I feel like the top two pecking order would be her and Nick Krupke.
Oh,
I feel like that's your powerhouse couple right there.
I'd love to meet somebody that hates Nick Krupke.
See, nobody's got a bad thing to say about either of those people.
Both are Cougars.
They're both Cougs. There's something about Cougs, man. They always find their way back home.
Talk about best sports media people here in Portland without Adam Bjarnason in that conversation.
Ah, you want Bjarnason in there too?
We've had behind the scenes. There's been some stuff.
Uh-oh, scuttlebutt about Bjarnason.
Stuff.
Uh-oh, what are the people saying? Hearing rumors. I don't know.
So we'll talk to her at 8 a.m. today. It is a loaded show. It's good to be with you, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague. The poll question is up. You can vote. It reads, does driving in a demolition derby take skill? Yes or no? And no is winning right now. And I am telling you, I watched enough of my life to tell you no skill.
No skill at all. Nothing needed.
It's more about who built the better car.
People are saying that most demolition derby cars don't have roll cages. They're just regular cars with the glass taken out.
No, definitely there's
a lot
of those.
You can't strengthen your car frame in any way.
I'm talking about more like big show demolition derbies do have cars with roll cages in them.
Oh, look at this.
It's framing.
We got a car guy beef off.
There's no car guy. I'm not a car guy.
We got a car guy beef off here.
There's no beef.
Okay, we got beef off.
You go to your county fair? Absolutely. That's Bob with his Chevy from the backyard that hasn't been driven in 2 years.
It'd be kind of fun to do.
I
got an old car. Let's go smash this bad boy up. Nobody's going
to
buy this thing for me.
Watching the engines just start smoking and the car just not moving anymore.
You got to jump out of the glass broken window. I'm going to run out of here now.
Not often. I thought we were going to get this in the Super Bowl.
What'd
you get? Then the Super Bowl blew.
Super Bowl was terrible.
And it's not very often that you get something that lives up to the hype, but boy, did this one do it.
Matthews, one of the best in the league. McDavid, under 50% for the regular season. But he won 12 out of 14 in their opener, and he won that one and got a shot off. Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada!
That's Sean McDonough of ESPN on the call. The Canadians did it to us again. They beat USA again in overtime. They win the Four Nations title. We have become the 11th province.
Yeah, that's the way it works, right? We're now a part of Canada. Do we got to speak? Do I have to learn French now? How does that play out? I don't know if I can learn French.
Oh, oui, oui.
That'd take me a long time, dude. I don't got a lot of brain cells left, so that's going to take me a few years to get up to speed on that bad boy.
Poutine is now our national
food. Poutine is now our national food.
Syrup is on our state flag.
I got to drink Molson this weekend, is what you're telling me? I got to go down that road? Come on, man. Dude, that game.
That was a great game.
It was awesome.
Non-hockey guy here, Blue Line Brandon. That was a great game.
That was the only hope that I had. I was obviously rooting for the U.S., and they've been the bridesmaid a lot against Canada, and that's why that win in Montreal on Saturday was such a big deal, is that best on best. We just don't beat Canada very often. This is their sport, and we beat them in their own backyard, and that was a really cool thing to watch happen. Played them in, what, the 2002 gold medal game, I believe it was, in Salt Lake City. Lost to Canada. Mm-hmm. Played them in the 2010 gold medal game. Lost to Canada. And that was the Sidney Crosby golden goal. So this obviously wasn't the Olympics, and it wasn't a gold medal game. But it's the first time in a long time we've seen best on best, and we were that close once again. The game was almost identical to the game in 2010, outside of we just got off to a slightly better start. But overtime comes, Canada takes control, USA had a couple of chances they couldn't finish, and then who is it that scores the game-winning goal? It's the next golden child. It was Sidney Crosby in 2010, now it's Connor McDavid who did it. And that was the only saving grace for me. I was happy for the night that the sport had, but also I was happy that it was him that scored the goal, because I think that generates more conversation. There's a handful of guys on Canada's roster that you have never heard of before, and I could tell you the backstory of them scoring the game-winning goal, and you'd be like, oh, that's cool, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. Most sports fans, I would imagine at this point, know who Connor McDavid is. He's a bit of a household name. He was in the Stanley Cup final last year. So that helps when you're trying to grow the sport, that you have a guy who is considered maybe the face of the league right now score that big of a goal.
I thought I had missed the start of things because I was out gallivanting around. And when I got home, I turned it on right as the lady started the Canadian anthem.
Yeah.
Which was a little odd. Didn't feel as... I don't know.
She went a little slow. It was kind of the timing of it was a little weird.
Yeah, I didn't like that rendition. Gotta be honest with you.
You know, like when they weave in the French?
No, it was just like, I don't know. Just the way she did the O Canada part. I was like,
Not a lot of tempo to it. Dragged on at the end.
It was a title game. I need the big,
a little
best.
More juice there.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with you.
I didn't really hear any...
There was a few boos at the start of it, and that was about
really
it.
I didn't hear much.
You could hear it.
I turned it up, too. I'm like, And I felt like most of them were singing with it.
Yeah, there was a few. There's a lot of Canadians in the building last night.
It was a... Look, it's a smash success. It was a tournament created out of nothing, and...
This was Gary Bettman's Rob Manfred moment. Like, he created this. That guy's
not
an
knowing
idiot.
That this was going to
He had
be
no
what
intention
was.
That this yeah. is what it was going to turn into. He had no clue the political climate would be what the political climate is right now, and it took on a life of its own.
It really did.
Like, he got very lucky with
I did
this.
Feel like it was a gold medal game, and I'm like, yes. I kept reminding myself during intermissions, I'm like... Nothing. You don't really win anything.
No.
It's bragging rights.
It's kind of a made-up trophy. It's a made-up tournament. But, hey, we don't get to see this very often, so let's all get roped into it.
I was thinking, too, like how devastating that would have been. Because I know the fan base wasn't really there. It was a mix of fans. A lot of Canadians were there.
Yeah.
I saw a couple Florida Panther jerseys on screenshots.
Random hockey jerseys, yeah.
But I was wondering...
Probably Kachuk jersey, I would imagine.
Sam Bennett, I believe, as well.
Sam Bennett, too, if you're from Canada.
How does Boston Bruin fan feel if Brad Marchand does hit that game-winning goal?
It would be very weird. Very weird. I don't know how much of that... I'm going to imagine like 75% of that crowd was from Boston last night. I don't know what the overall percentage of like out-of-towners would be.
It looked like a lot of out-of-towners, but maybe that's a lot of Canadians just living in Boston.
It very well could be, and it's not that far away.
No.
That would have been a very mixed feeling of like, oh, that's our guy, but we're rooting against him tonight. Very, very strange feeling in the crowd.
Did you see how much tickets were going for yesterday?
Insane.
It was
$2,300.
Really hard to get into the building.
The get-in price, yeah, was over $2,000, close to puck backdrop.
Look, that's a lot of money. I would never, I wouldn't drop that kind of money on any sporting event because I don't roll quite that deep.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you're going to make a point of spending that kind of money, you got your money's worth. I mean, if you spent that for that versus what you spent on the Super Bowl, even though one like is the championship and the other one's a made-up non-existent thing, I think I'd rather take the non-existent exhibition that's like pitting who should be best friends
all of a sudden rivals.
Well,
we've always been rivals in this sport, but all of a sudden we're political rivals.
But now it's like gotten more intense and the heat's been turned up for the dumbest of reasons. I would have rather spent my money on that than what I saw at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl was terrible this year.
It was awful.
I mean, at least you're in New Orleans, so you can just leave the game early and go have some fun on Bourbon Street if you want.
You don't spend that money and leave early.
I'm getting the hell out of here, man. If you're a Chiefs fan, you might have left early because the second half wasn't very pretty. It was a great showcase for the sport. It was a far better outcome than they could have ever possibly imagined. To have the game be close, competitive, back and forth, go to overtime, the amount of chances that they had in overtime both ways. Binnington is the guy that is probably the biggest winner out of last night. He's the Canadian goaltender because he has taken it all over the chin throughout this tournament. Canada fans were not happy that he was named a starting goaltender. He has not played well at times in this tournament. He gave up a couple of bad goals against USA on Saturday night. He wasn't great in the first, you know, three periods of the game last night, but he did enough. And then when overtime came, he was outstanding. The save that he had on Matthews to keep the game tied and to keep Canada in it was incredible. And that was the direct correlation of Connor McDavid being able to score that goal on the other end.
My oldest didn't. She was caught off guard. She's watching hockey.
What's going on?
I watched the big games.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
The Stanley Cup final, a gold medal game, or a four nations face off. I'm there.
And she stops and she watches this with me, and she's amazed of how they move on ice with skates. And then she says what I've been thinking for years. Where's the puck? I can't see the puck.
I can't track the puck.
You know, I can't half the time either. Usually when the goal happens, I always know it because either the light goes off or I see the people stand up. And I'm like, hey, there's a goal.
You need the old puck globe back from ESPN? You need a puck tracker over there?
I don't know if I liked that puck tracker, but no, I do lose that puck a lot.
You got to follow that puck. You got to watch close. Put the phone down, Sprague. Come on.
I didn't have my phone out.
Hot take, I did like the puck tracker. I was like, oh, I can actually see what's going on. I'll watch hockey. And everyone's like, no, this sucks.
Well, they would hit it and then like
hockey fans hate it, but I understand why non-hockey fans
enjoy
it.
Everyone would stop and then McDonough would be like, the puck went into the net. And I'd be like, had no idea. Didn't know where it was.
Oh, my wife was actually very entertained by that last night, regardless of being able to see the puck or not. And that's my barometer for like these big events. You know,
yeah, so
you're
going to rope somebody else in.
Yeah, if my wife, who's, you know, a pretty fair weather sports fan, Damian Lillard was the one that brought her to sports. If she's getting into this in overtime, yeah, this is a huge event. So that was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know what it means long term. We've done this. Hockey in this country is very similar to soccer, where we do the like, hey, is this the breakthrough moment?
I'm not taking it anywhere. No. It was what it was. It was fun.
I just hope people, if you watch the game and you enjoyed it, hockey's a lot of fun, man. It's a really cool sport. It's nonstop action back and forth. You have 20-minute breaks in between periods to go take a pee and grab something to eat or do whatever you need to do around the house. And then you sit back down. There's not a lot of TV commercials. There's not that much stoppage time. It's honestly the perfect sport that you could create, and I love every second of it, and I hope people watch more of it.
From a television viewing standpoint, I think you're right. In the there was two intermissions, and one intermission I ate some food.
Yeah, you got up and did some stuff, didn't you?
And the second one I showered.
Yeah, I did too. I showered between the third. I had 15 minutes between third period and overtime. I went and jumped in the shower.
Same.
And look at that. Hey, I got out of the shower. There we go. Overtime just started. Look at that.
And I don't, maybe I'm misremembering this, but I swear I'm watching this during the periods, and I don't think I don't remember seeing a commercial during the period. I'm like, that's great. It never stops. They blow a whistle for a second, man, they get it going again.
Yeah, you got one or two quick ones, and then sometimes they'll do the like cutaway, the side-by-side one, so it doesn't really feel like a commercial break, but they're taking like a 30-second break. It's a perfect sport, man. It was really cool to have the eyes of the sports world on hockey last night, and those guys delivered, man. That was an incredible game.
Somebody from this event has really made a name for themselves, and they tried to really make a point yesterday in the sports media landscape. And I'm going to tell you why it's ridiculous. We'll get to that coming up next, but first, Schultzy with a sports update. So we were just talking about the Four Nations Championship with USA and Canada. And out of it, I'm not sure, and I would include even players in this, which sucks to a certain degree, but I think it's just true. I'm not sure anybody's profile through that tournament was lifted higher in these last 10 days than PK Subban.
Yeah, he's now a First Take guy.
He is a First Take guy. He's the outgoing hockey bro.
Not often the hockey guy gets on First Take. That's a very rare thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. There it is. Okay, so PK Subban was on ESPN's First Take yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm going to play a clip for you of something he was talking about. And I want you to just listen and fill in the blanks in your mind of who you think he's talking about here, because I think he's making it quite clear, but he refuses to name a name.
We won't name names.
Here was PK Subban yesterday before the Four Nations Championship on First Take.
They got to understand the importance of showing up to the All-Star game and being on the court. And playing banged and up sometimes. And playing injured maybe at times. Thank you. And participating. Because here's the thing. Because you're making 100, 200, 300 million, you should be out there banged up. You should be. That's why we pay you, is to max out. We talk about greatness and it being the longevity of somebody's career. I don't care if you play 50 years. I want your best 10. I want you on the court dominating. I want you to go all out. I want Michael Jordan. I want Kobe. That's what I want in every sport. That's the guy that I follow. You're a different version than that, you don't get my respect.
Well, based on the past weekend that we just had and somebody showing up and not playing, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's probably talking about LeBron James.
What?
LeBron James!
And citing Michael and Kobe and saying, my guy. Like them.
Not my GOAT! He's not my GOAT!
I was texting with somebody, and we'll get to some Blazer stuff in the 7 o'clock hour.
Did he play last night, by the way?
Yeah.
Is he in the game? Oh, he did. Okay.
The 40-year-old, including myself, said, probably not going to play.
I mean, he's 40 years old. It's the second of a back-to-back. There's no way he had a good game.
Yeah, could you do me a quick favor?
Yeah, what do you got?
Could you look up Michael Jordan's numbers on a February, on the second of a back-to-back against a garbage-ass team?
When he was 40 years old?
What he scored?
Okay, I'll check that one out.
Because he doesn't care, right?
It's Wizards time, right?
He doesn't try. LeBron doesn't care at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why don't you be like a hockey player and tough it out, you softy?
By the way, Jordan did not play at the age of 40. His last year with the Wizards was 39.
That's right. Could you look up...
After retiring for 3 years for the second time, he came back and had 2 years with the Wizards.
Could you look up Kobe, RIP, by the way?
RIP,
His numbers at 40.
When he was 40 years old, I'll double check.
On the second of a back-to-back against a garbage-ass team.
Let me double check.
At 40 years old, what is his number? In February?
See what he did.
Could you look that up for me? Kobe cared.
Kobe made it. Oh, no, he did. Oh, he ended at 37.
Oh,
retired at 37.
Didn't quite
make it there. Well, you know, it's longevity. Who cares about longevity? I want your best 10, Sprague. Give me your best 10.
I actually liked PK Subban, and then I've heard what he's been saying the last 3 days, and maybe it's the monster. You got to feed the beast. Hey, we need the
takes.
That's
definitely what it is, yeah.
Well, but I've watched a lot.
Chris Canty's doing that now, too. They have him go on First Take. He says, don't re-sign Micah Parsons. Everybody's like, what? Okay. He's the best defensive player in football, arguably, over the last 3 or 4 years.
You can blame the beast and the machine. Right. You still have to be willing to go on that be that person if they need that person. It's just... I was texting with somebody yesterday, a friend, and I said, you know, I shouldn't care about some of this stuff, but it is real narrative stuff that has somehow stuck. It's a real thing that people have about LeBron James, of he doesn't care. He doesn't work the way Kobe and Mike did. And I roll my eyes at that, one, because I think it's nostalgia. You're just drugging yourself with a needle in your vein of nostalgia of somehow your era of when you cared about basketball
was better.
And I'm texting and I say, I don't know if anything, including the clutch gene stupidness that exists right now in our narrative-based stuff, I don't know if I'll be more upset the fact that throughout most of his career, he never got he didn't try and put in the work the way Kobe and Mike did, the way that it has been shared about LeBron James. Because, oh, God forbid, he didn't play in the All-Star game this year in the dumbest format that's ever existed. Yeah. By the way, why was Four Nations a thing this year?
Because the NHL All-Star game was terrible.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And they created this, and most of the league had a 2-week break where they all went to Cabo San Lucas, and these guys, the best players in the league, had to go represent.
Who was
their
best player to not be at the Four Nations tournament?
I mean, there's a handful of guys. Leon Draisaitl, I'll give you. How
dare
that?
He? Why don't he care more? Gretzky did.
He did.
Lemieux did?
Yeah.
How dare he? Crosby's out there.
He's out there grinding.
Where you at, Draisaitl?
That's right. Get your ass to the Four Nations. Well, his country wasn't involved, but that's not his fault, you know?
Drop 40 points at 40 years old. Yeah, do you have 11 turnovers? Sure. 40 points at 40 on a back-to-back against garbage-ass Portland in cold, rainy Portland, Oregon, USA. But sure, didn't work and doesn't care. Okay. Good take, PK Subban.
It's just funny to me that, look, there's no excusing the action. This weekend was dumb. The whole thing was dumb. The fact that he showed up and didn't play but didn't let him know ahead of time. Like, sure, that's a little ridiculous, and that's kind of some of the vanity stuff that you got to deal with LeBron James so he could be there for the photo op.
I believe
his
Kobe,
20th All-Star.
I believe it was discovered that Kobe also was at an All-Star game and injured.
And didn't play.
I'm sure
we all lost our collective minds when that happened.
I bet we did.
The narrative that there hasn't been hard work or effort involved in lasting this long is one of the dumbest things that exists in sports. The guy's 40 years old. We just jokingly gave you the numbers. Kobe made it until he was 37 and his body broke down. That's why he retired. Michael Jordan retired twice, once in the prime of his career to walk away.
Imagine if LeBron would have done that, unexpectedly
I'm done.
Just retired.
Just won my second title with the Heat. I'm done. I'm retiring. What? And then come back a year and a half later, refreshed and energized for another three-peat. And then Jordan retired for three more years. And then he came back at the age, it was last year in Chicago, he's 34, came back and played at the age of 38 and 39. And he was a shell of himself. It was fun. I have a Michael Jordan Wizards jersey.
Sure.
Like, there was a moment he hit the big shot in the All-Star game. Like, there was those little highlights that you had for younger generations that maybe didn't remember all of Jordan's career.
Mm-hmm.
I was appreciative that he did that. But you cannot compare these two things. What this guy's doing at the age of 40 doesn't make sense. This isn't Tom Brady standing in the pocket throwing a football, where you don't have to be that athletic in order to do it. If you would have asked me on the show yesterday, hey, Dirt, is LeBron going to play tonight? I probably would have laughed at you and said there's no chance in hell he's going to play tonight.
I didn't think he was.
The Blazers suck. They just played the Hornets last night. They lost. He played a decent amount of minutes in that loss. Luka's still fat. They're trying to bring him along, so he's not going to play. I think this is one the Lakers are just going to come in and say, here's our white flag. And I was going to go on a whole rant about how terrible I feel for all the fans that bought tickets to the game.
Oh, you got a head on your rant?
I was ahead on my rant. My rant was all prepared for today. Like, this is what's wrong with your league. These guys don't care. I was ready to be PK Subban, and then his ass showed up, and he dropped 40 and he won the game.
Somebody hit us up on social media yesterday during the show and was like, has LeBron ever played a game in Portland? And I've been at a LeBron game where he literally, to send a message to his team, like, took himself in the second half out as a cab and said,
yeah,
Dion Waiters, Kyrie Irving, you don't want to pass the ball? Okay, go do what you
see
want.
See what you got out there.
Ended up being the turning point in their entire season. They traded Dion Waiters. They went to the finals that year.
They did.
I know that he's had games where he's not played. He also has had some pretty amazing games in Portland.
Remember the one where he dunked on Nurkic? I'll never forget that highlight.
Dude, I saw his first Laker game. His very first Laker game was here in Portland. Nick Stauskas.
That's right. Nick Stauskas beat him. Blazers legend, Nick Stauskas.
One of the greatest back and forth. A dunk, followed by a dunk, followed by another LeBron dunk into a timeout, and the whole building was buzzing like, look how special that was.
This
was
pretty cool.
Yeah.
This was way back, I think, in the first 7 years of his career. And this was at a point where, like, runs in the NBA weren't as quick. So a 12-point lead with 2 minutes to go. All right, Blazers got it.
Largely over,
LeBron hit four freaking threes in a row. I will never forget that game in Portland. And then the Cavs go on to win. And I'm just like, what just happened? Like, there is greatness amongst you. Witness it. And as far as this game goes last night, I may not be as high on LeBron off the court as some people are. On the court, I tune in. When he's either in Portland or on national television, you are watching greatness, and you got to make sure that you tune in. It's just one of those things, like a Tom Brady game at the end of his career. Everybody wants to watch whether you like him or not.
I mean, it's just the tough part is, and this isn't a shot at Kobe, because Kobe had a great career.
He did.
Kobe's last three seasons, 6 games, 35 games, 66 games.
He was a shell of himself. He was couldn't stay healthy. He had the Achilles injury, and it all unraveled.
That's not his fault. That's
not
at
all.
Kobe doesn't work hard. It's just, that's why it's a dumb take. That guy is a billionaire. he doesn't financially need a reason to go out there.
He's got championships. He's accomplished everything that you could accomplish in your basketball career.
But because he doesn't grip his jaw or stick his tongue out, we identify him as not as hard a worker, which is,
as if you could make it to the age of 40 and be playing, how many minutes per game is he playing this year? He's playing 35 minutes a game. At the age of 40.
We wish Scoot was
averaging
35.
averaging 25 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists and 8 rebounds a game.
It's just such a bad take from PK Subban to say, like,
when was the last time the Blazers had a player average 25 points, 8 assists and 9 rebounds?
Never? Maybe Clyde?
Because that's what LeBron's doing at the age of 40.
Is it Clyde?
I don't know.
Because I don't think Dame's had 8 and 9.
Not 8 and 9. He had a couple years where maybe the assist numbers were there and the points per game was there.
B-Roy? Go look at B-Roy.
I highly doubt he got there, but I'll take a look.
Not his career
I think he might have to go to, like, Bill Walton.
Jeez. That's just, yeah.
And he's 40 years old.
My daughter asked me about basketball player feet. She goes, Dad, I saw a short video. She watches the YouTube shorts, which is basically TikTok. And she said, basketball player feet are messed up. Why is that? And I said, just the mileage. I said, you should look at LeBron's feet. They're disgusting.
They're horrible.
The toes are bent wrong ways. And
watch Kenny Smith walk on TNT.
I told her about it. I said,
when he's going to the Jumbotron.
I said, I saw Tim Hardaway in person when he was an assistant coach. And I remember Tim Hardaway's a great player. Quick, guard that could dribble, pull up. And I said, I saw Tim Hardaway, and his legs looked like they quit life, but Tim Hardaway was still alive.
Clyde Drexler had 1 year in his career where he averaged 8 assists a game. It was in 1986. Yeah. That is it. He had 2 years where he averaged 7 rebounds.
I understand that I'm not in any way in this last 10 minutes going to change any person's mind if they've made it up already. You're just going to have to live with the fact it is a stupid take by PK Subban to suggest that guy doesn't care given we just watched him do something that he didn't need to do.
Yeah, if we're going to criticize anybody, and this is the funny part about that league for the last 20 years, there's one guy held to a certain standard, and there's another. Everybody else is held to a different standard. And I think it's one of the areas that I will push back a lot in. If you're going to criticize somebody going into that game last night or coming out of that game last night, how is it not the young fat ass who's refusing to play on a back-to-back?
His 25-year-old teammate can't play yet. He can't do back-to-backs yet. Yeah.
And maybe that's the one that not the 40-year-old who scored 40 and led his team to a win. Maybe it's the 25-year-old who should be in the prime of his career health-wise, but he can't play a second of a back-to-back because, God forbid, he played last night against the Charlotte Hornets.
And just quickly, it's funny that you brought up that fadeaway jumper for Michael in that final All-Star game of his.
Garnett ruined that ending. Michael could have won that game if Garnett didn't get fouled on the next possession and they sent it to overtime.
Well, yeah, but nobody talks about, I think it was sometime in the third quarter, where Michael clanked a dunk hard off the back of the rim.
He looked old at that point.
Yeah,
because...
Yeah,
because he was old.
But we weren't. See, that's the thing.
That used to be old. That's why this is remarkable.
I was made more sad by that missed dunk and more happy by the shot because we knew this was it.
Yeah, this is your last chance to watch
it. I don't get to watch this dude anymore. And you don't have to like the person off any field or court. I just don't understand these miserable humans.
Yeah.
That get to watch great athletes exist and they're like, nah, he sucks. He's not as good as the other guy. Okay, by the way, here's my favorite stat, and I'll end it here because we're already over it. PK Subban's career ended in 2022. He's 35.
He's a young guy.
Get your candy ass out there and lay some up. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. We'll talk a little Blazers in the second hour of the program. Some unfortunate news and a random sports story that came out this morning. I want to ask Dirt, because I think this about Dirt. I think Dirt is... Dirt can be about as big a team player as one could need. I do think he would say out loud, I won't do this, but I think ultimately...
Oh, you think
pressed,
I would? Yeah, Push come to shove, I would do it.
I think he'd give right
I'd
in.
Bend over and say, sure, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I do. And I want to talk about that.
People are asking about Rod Strickland, by the way, trying to guess the last Blazer who averaged the stat line that LeBron is averaging this year. And I pulled up Strickland's line. Strickland was one of my favorite Blazers.
Never had a 25, 8, and 9 season.
He never averaged 20 per game in a season. He had a lot of years where there was 8, 9 assists per game. Never averaged more than 5 rebounds per game. His point per game averages in Portland were 13, 17, 19, and 18.7.
I love Rod Strickland, y'all. But, like, I mean, I was 6 or 7 around then. But, like, even, come on, guys. Even I know that, like, he got close to 20.
I mean,
but
to be 25, 9, and 8 is just
Especially back then in the 90s. Are you kidding me?
That's why I love bringing this stuff up. Like, it's, I'll pull up Walton's stat line because I imagine he's the only one that's ever done it.
Roy never averaged more than 22.
And he wasn't.
No,
really.
Roy didn't come close.
It's kind of crazy to look at Roy's numbers because the impact and emotion of what we felt versus comping them to numbers that exist in this NBA.
Yes.
And I know it's a different game the way they play.
Different league, sure.
It's kind of crazy to look at it and like act like it was all-time stuff.
It is. Hey. Really. You look back, you're like,
no, I mean, like, I love Brandon
19
Roy.
Points per game.
I
man.
Loved Brandon Roy in high school, and yeah. I loved Brandon Roy in college. And when he was a Blazer, I was jacked. I have a photo with Brandon Roy outside of an Oregon State basketball game. I was a little college groupie for Brandon Roy.
Kobe called him the most complete player.
Yeah,
on offense
I'm ever. Yes, we are all. Yes. We love to cling on to the.
Those are the only championships we've won in the last 40 years when Kobe complimented Brandon
we
Roy.
We played the Mavericks what? The toughest.
Those are our only titles, man.
making that point, but sure.
No, it's, I mean it is. It's all we got. I remember when Damian Lillard torched Kobe in his first ever Blazer game. Remember that on Halloween that. Night, his yes. NBA debut, God, and Kobe after debut. The game and was like, "This so guy's special. The real deal."
That guy's
those are
great.
Our championships. That's what we got. Bill Walton in his two best years in Portland. He finished second in MVP voting and then won it in 77-78, obviously, before he got hurt.
Right.
19 points, 14.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists.
What were his shots a game?
His field goal attempts per game were 14.5 and just over 15.
Okay. So not as high volume,
not
I
as
guess.
High of a volume, no. In a different league, different positions. I think it's important to point out how insane that is.
Walton has an auction in June. As a state announced, they're doing an auction in June. They're going to auction some stuff off, including
old
his,
Walton memorabilia.
I believe I have this correct. I think his MVP is going to be auctioned.
What? Somebody in his family didn't want that?
Well, let me make sure I'm right on that. I saw the story.
That would be a kick-ass thing to have in your collection.
How much is that going to cost?
What does the 1978 MVP trophy look like?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Because I could tell you what it looks like now, but I don't know if I know what it looks like back in the late 1970s.
Make sure, because it's a...
Sweet would that be, just having your man cave? Like, hey, what's that trophy on the mantle there? Oh, that's Bill Walton's MVP trophy from 1978. No
well,
big deal.
I was thinking, like, I don't think I'll have the money to be able to get in. Yeah, he's sneakers and his 77-78 MVP award.
That is badass.
It's going to... A lot of the money is going to be donated. I don't know if this okay. is part of his will. But it's going to be donated to the UC San Diego Orthopedic Department.
Very cool, man.
So that's, you know, I'm imagining that has to be part of the will and his wishes, I guess, at the end there.
Yeah, nobody in the family needs it. Let's give this to the basketball community because somebody who wants it will buy it and the money will go to a really good cause.
Real quick, and we'll get to the second hour. What is it just Blazer merch? Because I'm actually hard-pressed between saying I want UCLA Bill Walton stuff versus Blazer Bill Walton stuff.
Ooh, I think I would still lean Blazer, but the UCLA stuff was pretty incredible.
And do you think there's any amount of money you possess right now that if you dove into this auction, you'd be able to win?
What am I bidding on?
Let's just call it a run-of-the-mill...
I think I can win something.
A Blazer warm-up shirt tearaway or something.
Yeah, I think I can win something like that.
Now, how much is that going for? Because I think I want to actually try to win something.
Throw one bid in, at least.
It'd be badass to have something.
It's
going
to be a few
Walton's.
Hundred for something.
I'd
like
imagine a couple hundred bucks would be my guess. I mean, like the MVP's going to go for a lot.
Yeah, because they'll start it probably at, like, what, $200-$300? And I don't know. It just depends on, like, if it's a 77 finals tearaway, that's going for four figures or more.
Now, what about a Clippers gear?
I'm out on that.
No, or like a Celtics.
Dude,
like
San Diego Clippers.
Clipper
I'm out
Walton
on that.
Gear?
I'm out on that. If I have the choice, I mean, it'll be cheaper to buy because nobody will remember
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
But I give me like the Walton with the Blazers down the side of the jersey that they should bring back.
That's two G's.
Give me that jersey in a frame in my man cave. I'm going to rock that bad boy.
We got some more basketball dealings we'll get to. We got some football stuff to get into as well. Brooke Olsendam's going to be our daily ticker guest at 8 a.m. But hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.